Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
Take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 2. How many came expecting to receive from the Lord tonight? Isaiah, the second chapter and the second verse. In the last days, what days are we in right now? When you start talking about last day and end time Bible prophecy, how many of you listen to my father teach on end time Bible prophecy on YouTube? I feel like Fred Astaire preaching tonight. I will be careful, I promise you. So, when you go into end time Bible prophecy, of which I'm a student and my dad is a great teacher of it, I know all the negative Bible prophecies, but the devil does not have carte blanche to do whatever he wants in the last days. Satan has an agenda in the last days, but God also has an agenda in the last days. Can you say amen? Amen. For example, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit. When will I lose signal on this mic, Devin? I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see vision. In that day, I'll pour out my spirit on all my servants, men and women alike, and prophesy. So say with me, God has a will. Say it like you didn't pass away 2 weeks ago. Say, God has a will. For the last days. So it's not all up to the devil. We know the Bible says that Satan's agenda is a one world government, one world money system. That's where you're getting with central bank digital currency and all that. You can see all that on the horizon. But if you're not careful, you're going to become a negative Christian, which I would say the majority of Christians in America and conservatives are negative. They know everything about what the Democrats are planning, what the World Economic Forum's planning, all of what the enemy's planning. Then if you ask him to give you two scriptures or anything positive, oh, I don't know, you know. You'll even hear people say idiotic things like, is God finished with America? You know, maybe God's done. You'll see people during this week, God's judging America. Let me ask you a question. How is God going to judge a place while I'm here? I'm his son. Bible says by redemption, we're sons of God, and the ladies here are daughters of God. The Bible says that Satan is not over our head. Satan doesn't get to pick what happens in the United States. Satan is also not, according to the Bible, he's not eye to eye. We're not fighting him. Satan has been, I'll say it like this. I was preaching one place. I was one of three speakers that night in Washington, D.C. And I was second. And the guy that went first, he went for a long time on how it was the week that gay marriage had passed. So he's rebuking the fire out of the crowd. You'd have thought they were the five Supreme Court justices that voted to approve it. So you had like 2,000 Christians there that were good people having this guy lay into them. You know, shame on America. Americans don't pray. I've been hearing that because I grew up in Pentecostal church and more of the Pentecostal holiness side of Pentecostal church. They were always very rough on the crowd. How many know we don't pray like we should? How many know we don't fast like we should? Well, I always thought, well, how about I'll start praying like I should and fasting like I should? So we do. I don't take kindly to that kind of talk. We don't pray like we should. I feel like saying speak for yourself because I do pray. We have daily prayer at our church Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for 1 hour. We fast to start every year for 21 days. Not Daniel fast, not electronics fast, not fasting TV. You know, unless you deep fry your television and eat it, you can't fast your TV. If fasting TV was an actual fast, all of our Amish friends down the street have fasted their whole lives. Fast in the Hebrew means to close the mouth from food. And T-S-O-M in the Hebrew. So we fast. I've never enjoyed being around people that are negative about the church. Because when you read in the Bible, you know, church is corrupt. No, there's corrupt people in church. Just like there's, and corrupt church leaders, just like there's corrupt general contractors, corrupt lawyers, corrupt politicians, corrupt baseball players. There's corruption everywhere that there's human beings. But the bride of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a pure and holy church. Then the Bible tells you that God has a plan for his church in the last days. Isaiah chapter 2. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways and will walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion, and his word will go out from Jerusalem. So the Bible, and then of course, obviously this is in Isaiah. I understand that's well before the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. But when it talks about Zion, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that Zion is the church of the firstborn. So you're seeing a picture in the old covenant of what the church is to be in the new covenant. Can you say amen? Amen. That in the last days, God didn't say the church is going to die out and become smaller and fade. You know, it's funny. Say this, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Now, how come this place is packed here through the hallway and into the back? In an era where, I mean, you know, people aren't willing to come and come see a preacher night after night. And you'll even hear preachers say that stuff. I don't know if you can do revival in this day and age with it so busy. You know why it's like this for here? Because I've never said that. I realized from the Bible that God said, it's not I'm going to believe for it. God said his will, like he's willing that none should perish. His will is that there be big, huge gatherings of people from many nations, many races, many lands, many languages. I pray the day comes where I come back to Lancaster and have to have three interpreters for all of the nations that are coming to hear the gospel. Can you say amen? That's the will of God for this last hour of time. You know, I don't think I've ever preached like this on the first night of a meeting, but I'm saying it because there's good guys here and good pastors. And I want to tell you, your best days. I tell every person in the sound of my voice, as sure as I'm standing here with blue pants and tan shoes, your best days are not behind you. If you get a hold of what God has for you, you're going to have an explosive closeout to this year called 2024, and there's nothing the devil can do about it in Jesus' mighty name. If you receive that, go ahead and do what you already do it. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. If you believe that, can you shout a loud amen?
Amen.
So according to the Bible, now some people don't have much time for the Bible. I'm talking about ministers. They have we've been doing studies and church has been declining. Yeah, whatever. Study all you want. The Bible says God's will in the last days is for the church to be established higher than all hills, the mountain of the Lord's house, to be the highest of all hills. There's no doubt in my mind that these big stadiums were built with heathen money. And before Jesus comes back in America, Texas Stadium, where the Cowboys play, AT&T, Lincoln Financial Field, all these stadiums will be packed with people coming to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and waiting in line for 90 minutes, 2 hours to receive gospel literature. Now, you receive that very easy. You're easy to preach to. But get this second part too. Where the change is going to take place is when you realize that's not going to happen out there somewhere. Lord, send revival. Does the Holy Spirit have a twin brother named Revival? No. So what is revival? I've been telling this story. I was in Vancouver and then Georgia and then here. And the Lord's had this on my heart. There was a guy bashing evangelists. This is a long time ago, like 1980s. And he said, these evangelists think they carry revival in their suitcase. Because back then there's a bunch of any of the pastors that are here, they're 80s and 90s, early 2000s, your phone would ring off the hook from guys looking to book meetings. And this guy said, these evangelists think they can just come and have revival like they carry revival in their suitcase or briefcase. And this evangelist, his name's Joe Peterson. He pastors now in Palm Harbor, Florida. He's in his 80s. He was sitting next to my uncle on the platform, and he pulled out his briefcase and opened it, and out slid a microphone, a tambourine, music tracks and some sermons. And he went in his southern accent. I got it in mind. See, I like that mentality that he had, because what he was saying is, I have it. I don't, not in my briefcase. I have it on the inside of me. Because revival is not something, how many know revival sovereign? No, it's not. When the Holy Spirit was released from heaven to the believer for the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire, it gave believers the ability, not just even preachers. The Bible says that Stephen in the book of Acts was preaching and amazing the crowds. He was a deacon, amazing the crowds with his wisdom and the miracles that he did. The Bible doesn't say these signs will follow evangelists or these signs will follow pastors. It says these signs will follow everyone who believes. What are the signs? In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. They'll speak in new tongues. That's three of the five. Where's Pastor Abraham? Pastor Abraham? They went out to the car. My assistant that's here, he's an associate pastor at our church. I was waiting after church today. I just went out in the hallway trying to be a good pastor out in the back and was just talking to a few people. And this lady came up to me and said, I want to thank you for starting this church. I said, how did you, where did you come from? I'm always interested. Where did these people come from that heard it? Even the people that I recognize a lot of you, but the people I don't recognize, I'm actually interested to know where you come from and how you heard about this meeting and decided to clear your Sunday night out to come to this church. That interests me. So I said to this lady, how did you come to church? And she said, we don't come from another church. She said, we live here in Coriopolis, up on the hill. And she said, we kept hearing about people getting healed here. So we came. And then she said, my daughter just tried to commit suicide. It was Easter week. I think she tried to kill herself on Sunday or Monday. Monday after Easter. Her daughter hadn't come to the church. She's in her early 20s. She took a knife, a big knife, and stabbed herself in the side. And they took her to the hospital, and they closed it up the best they could. But she had ruptured something with the knife that they couldn't get shut. And she was slowly bleeding out to death. And they said, we've only been able to slow it down. There's nothing else we can do. So this lady starts calling our church. Well, the office, I announced Sunday, the office is closed. You know, we did Easter service. I closed it for the week, and we're always closed on Monday. Pastor Abraham, stand up so people know I'm not lying. This is the man I'm going to tell you about. He's an associate pastor at our church, and he's been at the ministry just over 1 year. So this lady said, I called and called the office, and nobody was answering. Brother Abraham, clearly directed by the Spirit, went into the office that day, although it was closed, not even knowing why he was going in. Heard the phone ring and answered it. And the lady said, my daughter just tried to commit suicide. We need help. And so did she come over to the church? She came to the church. Abraham, so you didn't answer the phone. She was at the church? So she came over for help. When she couldn't get anybody on the phone, she actually went to the building. Desperate. See, you can't lose sight of that in the ministry. There's people that are desperate for a touch from God. And if nobody's carrying God in them, there's nowhere to get a touch. Oh, Lord, touch the people of Lancaster. Let me tell you something. If you could pray like that without corresponding action, I'd stay home in Pittsburgh. I'd get on the phone with Pastor Joe and say, let's just come into agreement that God will send revival. How many know revival is so much bigger than me or Pastor Joe? No, God uses people. Now, religious people don't like that. Lord, just touch Pennsylvania. God's not going to touch Pennsylvania. God sent his son Jesus 2,000 years ago to die on the cross and break the power of sin. Then he rose from the dead to give resurrection life to those that believe in him. And then he sent another called the Holy Spirit to indwell those who are in him that we could take his power to our generation. That's doctrine. So Pastor Abraham said, let's pray. And he grabbed their hands and they prayed. And he prayed. He's from Ghana. He doesn't know how to pray American prayers. Lord, just be with her in the hospital. Be a blanket around her as she bleeds to death. In thy name. He prayed in Jesus' name. I command all the fibers that have been torn to sew up now. In Jesus' name. And that day, the doctor said, She told me, I was hearing this today before, that's why I'm telling you right now, I heard it a couple hours ago. The lady's telling me with tears in her eyes, she said, she was healed, totally healed. The bleeding stopped, no rupture. And she said, how many weeks ago was that? 3 weeks. So it wasn't Easter week. It was 3 weeks ago. Then she said, that's why, that's who that blonde-haired girl was that was at the altar 2 Sundays ago. And she said, the big guy that was with her, that you said, I feel safer with you here, I'm glad you're on our side. She said, that's her police officer father. Neither of them ever went to church. But after that happened, they both came to the altar and got saved. And the other sister's working in the children's ministry. Because what God said our job is in the book of Acts, it will never get old. There's no generation it won't work on. People were sick in Jesus' day. People are sick now. People are going through hard times 2,000 years ago. People are going through hard times now, trying to kill themselves at 23 years old. But the same power that delivered people back then is on the inside of the believer to loose by the word of God, by prayer, to set the captive free. I tell you again, a new wave of God's power is coming over you to set the captives free in Jesus' mighty name. If you receive that tonight, one more time, take 15 more seconds, clap your hands in Lancaster. Give God a mighty shout. Go ahead, make a joyful noise. The devil is defeated. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say it out of Isaiah chapter 2 with me again. Say, the mountain of the Lord's house will be exalted the highest of all. That's what God said the will of his will for the church is. So any talk you hear about the church is fading out. Yeah, statistically, their churches are fading out. But that's not God's plan. You have an opportunity in every nation to say, no, we're not going to have that. We're going to participate in God's plan, and we're going to have what God said. How many people are here that are 30 and younger? Stand on your feet. In the lobby, in the hallway, and in here. 30 and younger. So this is the generation that they say is absent from church. And they're here. You know why I had you stand up? Because this is the time to move. There's certain things that need to be done in your youth. I'm telling you tonight, is a holy night. Tonight is a night where God's hand is going to come on young people and call you into the ministry. Enough is enough. The answer is not in more government programs. The answer is not going to come from the political realm. There are people in this room that God is going to light ablaze with his fire and use you to make the devil sorry that he didn't kill you when he had the chance. If you believe it, can you say amen?
Amen.
You can be seated. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts the 8th chapter. Verse 4. This is what happened in the early... And I brought that story up from Abraham because it wasn't me that prayed. Pastor Abraham, how many pastors at the church have been there less than you? Two? Sam and Pastor Dean, right? Yeah, so I'm one of the newest additions to the Revival Today family. It doesn't matter. God's looking for people who are available to be used. I pray tonight by the Holy Ghost that every excuse that the enemy laid you with as to why things aren't working for you, why you can't grow past a certain level, why, you know, you can't really be used that much. I pray that God uses me to shatter all those things. There's nobody in here that God is unable to use to do not some things, to do great things. He doesn't need ability, he needs availability. The Bible says he enjoys, he likes to take the things the world finds foolish. The people that were counted as nothing at all and use them to shame those who are powerful. If you make yourself available and reject carnal means. If people want smoke machines and lasers, they can get that anywhere. Nothing wrong with having good lighting and all that. But if your whole ministry is built on that, you're one EMP attack away from not having a ministry. You know, all the power could go out. I take Brother Devin on the road with me for the live show, and they had an equipment malfunction. So he said, the sound's not going to be optimal. Let me tell you something. There was no sound at all. I grew up preaching in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. Grant. Where's it? Grantville. So there's no problem. I could do this hall. I preached in South Africa. They took all the copper wires out of the church the night before. There was no sound. 1,400 people. Paul did his whole ministry with no microphones. No headset mic. If you can open this up and tell people about Jesus, tell them about Jesus, that everything you're going through, Jesus is the answer. If you'll call on him, he'll pull you out of whatever pit you're in and set your feet on the rock to stay. See, that's why I have Abraham with me. I'm glad I didn't have some jabroni that when they said my daughter stabbed herself in the side, said, okay, let me pray. Lord, we don't know why these things happen, but even as they're going through this death and this time of pain, give them a grace. See, at some point, somebody deadened your spirit where you don't actually believe in the God of miracles anymore. When you pray, Jesus never taught prayer as a coping mechanism. He taught it in Mark 11 as a mountain-moving force. He taught it in Luke chapter 18 of getting an unjust judge to release what belongs to you through prayer. Prayer, God has given us the power as the church to tell the devil, you might be doing this in New York City. You might be doing this in San Francisco, but it's not going to happen here in Pennsylvania, because enough is enough. I bind your work. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to call people to Christ, and I'm going to see my generation shaken by the power of God. Somebody say enough is enough. One thing you're going to have to fight is getting deadened. People putting wet blankets on you. I remember when I was your age and I got excited like that. Anybody ever go to a youth camp that I preached around here? A few people. Would you say I'm less strong now or more strong? More. And I was plenty strong at 27 and 29 and 31. And I'm more strong now. And if Jesus tarries, I'll be more strong at 55 than I am at 43. And I'll be stronger at 72 than I am at 50. Because the fire must never go out. In the name of Jesus, everything the devil has used to deaden your fire, receive fresh fire today in Jesus' mighty name. Say it out loud. The fire must never go out. The fire must never go out. You can't pray weak prayers for people that have kids on heroin. We have the answer. How many know he's the answer? You have to also know, because he lives in you, you're the answer. The book of Obadiah says, I will raise up saviors, small s, plural, that come from Mount Zion. That means because he's the head and we're the body, we are now the body of Christ on the earth. If you're the lowest member of the body, you're still the member of the body. And so say this out loud. When I speak, he's speaking. When I touch them, Jesus is touching them. Where I go, Jesus goes. Because he lives in me, and I live in him. Say it out loud. I'm not chasing after him. How we know we need to always be pursuing God. How about just get saved and have him come to live in your heart? It's no longer I that lives, but Christ liveth in me. Say that out loud. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ liveth in me. Say his power lives in me. And say, because he lives, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now lift your hands and just begin to thank God out of your mouth that right from this first day, God is raising up an army. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm just going to tell you this right now. When I hear people say stuff like, is God judging America, or is God finished with America? I don't believe they're in active ministry. I don't believe they travel. What I'm having tonight is what it's been like this the whole year. We were the first ministry that they allowed to preach in a Las Vegas casino since the 1970s, a couple months back. They don't let them in. It's not a discrimination against the church. They have like an acronym. They don't want faith groups, education groups, law enforcement, or veterans. Because casino, they don't want just people coming in. They want people to come in and drink and gamble. So if you have a bunch of Christians come in, 2,000 people might come into the casino, but most of them aren't going to gamble. Hopefully none of them, but most of them won't. And then they called back and said, we'll let you in. Do you know the one night I was preaching with Pastor Rodney Howard Brown there? We had more people, probably four times, in our meeting what was on the floor gambling. There's probably 200 people gambling on the floor, and we had 800 people in the meeting. People getting saved, people wandering in and hearing the gospel and coming in for prayer. Let me tell you something. If you think God's finished with America, I bet you all you have is a Facebook ministry, and you sit in a basement and give your thoughts out of the Bible. Because if you travel around, I mean, the younger generation isn't even in church anymore. I just had them all stand up. This is not an old folks meeting. Everybody's sitting here looking like the Quaker Oats guy. And we're not even in a young demographic. Lancaster's not a young city demographically. And there's still probably a third of the crowd, 35% of the crowd is 30 and younger on a Sunday night meeting that have already been to church once and are in church again now. I'm telling you right now, I have never seen a hunger in America. The tide has turned. The devil launched his greatest attack 2020 through 2022. And guess what? It never did what it was meant to do. In fact, the title of the World Economic Forum meeting tonight, or this year, was Rebuilding Trust. What does that tell you? If you title a conference Rebuilding Trust, you might as well title it, We Blew It. People don't believe us anymore. People are against us now. They don't trust us. They don't trust Pfizer. They're actually looking for another direction, for another answer. And the church is that answer. Somebody say the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. Now make it personal, because the Bible says we are all living stones in that house. So put your... This will rattle any religion you have in you. But this is what the devil doesn't want. Everything's going to come from out here. Lord, send revival. Raise someone up. How about you? What's stopping you? Lord, raise someone up. Anyone but me. Send someone. Count me out. And most people don't do that because they're lazy or they don't want to be used by God. They're so conscious of them and whatever. You know, your failures or your past. As if people don't have a past. I pastored a church. I had a lady come up to me. I wasn't pure before I was married. Oh, you're the one. I was wondering who the lady was that lived in America that didn't keep herself chaste until her wedding day. You ever watch afternoon talk shows? Join the club. You know, the devil will so magnify your sin and what's wrong with you. Then if there's nothing wrong, like with David, have your own brother make up accusations. As soon as David went to kill Goliath, who are you? You're supposed to be taking care of our father's few sheep. I know about your pride. Yeah, they'll make up all kinds of stuff about you. Jonathan started that church in Pittsburgh. He just wants a big church. Correct. I do want a big church. I want there to be, and if they think it's big now, they're gonna have high blood pressure because I'm just getting warmed up. When that church is done, Pittsburgh will have empty streets on Sunday because people are coming in to hear the gospel and be changed. That's going to happen in Lancaster. That's going to happen in Philadelphia and York and Harrisburg and Granville and St. Thomas, Pennsylvania and Aliquippa and Erie. Pennsylvania doesn't belong to the devil. Pennsylvania shall be saved in Jesus' mighty name. I'm not going to preach long tonight. But I will tell you, if you're not careful, you're going to miss this window. I never thought the day would come where one of the two presidential candidates would do a video saying how we need the Bible and Christianity back in every home. That the church needs to be back in the public square, coming from the top. And bring up people, while that's happening online, is God finished with America? Open your eyes. Lay off the weed. God finished with America, bro. Blow out your joint and wake up. Okay, that one kind of took the air out of the room. I'll use different examples from now on. Is God finished with America? Finished. Finished. We had 2,002 people last week in a church that's 2 years old. Simultaneously, we started a second church in Fort Worth. My dad did the meeting down there. We had 3,000 people. We had just under 1,000 new people saved in one weekend in a two-year-old church. Do you know why? I'm not saying that because I'm like a super pastor. You want to know what the reason is? Because I never believed that crap. It's hard to pastor. Pittsburgh's a difficult area. People come up out of the woodwork. What was the story? Somebody just told me on the phone. Somebody said some insane thing to him. You know, another minister to another minister, like, just so you know, I know. I was talking to my cousin today. That he was going up to preach somewhere, and this older minister said to him, just so you know, the ministry's hard. There'll be times when you're sick and on your back and unable to move, and there's hardly any money. Thanks for the pep talk, Lucifer. Well, in their right mind, that was a Pentecostal pastor talking, and he liked him. Imagine how he talks to people he doesn't like. Just so you know, it's going to be hard. Let me tell you, after I leave town, you'll have 1,000 other people tell you what you can't do, how hard things are going to be, how there's no money. So let there at least be one person to tell you, you're going to make it. Yeah. That he who began a good work in you is not going to leave you stranded. He's going to bring it to completion. God's not through blessing you. I have news for the devil tonight. I have news for every demon that's assigned to Pennsylvania. There's enough firepower in the hallway of this church to run the devil straight back out of Pennsylvania. This state does not belong to the devil. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all the inhabitants that dwell therein. Get ready, get ready, get ready. God's going to take you on a journey for him that you'll not soon forget. If you believe it, shout, I receive it. So what do you do? How do you have revival? Acts 8, verse 4. But the believers who were scattered preached the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria. You think America will ever see a revival? I don't know. We're in Lancaster on the first night of a revival, and we're already going to have to call after tonight to find out backup venues. True or false? Yeah, no one really comes out Sunday nights. You're not to listen to a loser like you. I'm saying because of your own mouth. Who's going to come listen to people who talk like that? You don't preach faith into people. I think God's judging. This country should be ashamed. Okay, let them be ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not doing anything. I dressed up. I took a shower. I have a Bible. What do you want from me? See, don't talk to Christians like they're sinners. Everybody say, I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
Say, the blood of Jesus, has cleansed me. Not will cleanse me. Say it, not will cleanse me. Has cleansed me. Of all unrighteousness. Say it, not some unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I probably should use less personal examples, but I mean, I finished talking to that lady today and telling her about her daughter and then that leading to her police officer's son and her getting saved and how they're going to the membership class right now. Then I met this other family outside. We just joined the membership class. We heard about what was going on here and came, and God really helped me. Gave me an idea for my business, and my business is starting to take off. I'm talking regular Pennsylvania, non-church-going heathens. You know, I'm from this state. Pennsylvania has a lot of great people that believe in God, but they're headed to hell because they haven't gotten saved. They don't have any problem with the church. They'd punch somebody that had a problem with the church. They went to church during COVID just to tell the government, don't tell me what to do. But they're not born again. But they're easily reached. They love God deep down. They were raised by people that love God. You know how easy it is to lead Puerto Ricans to the Lord?
Hallelujah.
I led one to the Lord that wanted to leave me. She ended up marrying me. I still have her in my house. Together we helped make another Puerto Rican. Find me a Puerto Rican that hates God. They got crosses. You go to crosses in the house, Jesus picture in the kitchen. People love God in Pennsylvania, but they don't know Him. And they're one person away from telling them, Jesus loves you. My wife, the aforementioned Puerto Rican, went to go preach in the prison this last week. That was her third week in a row. She felt to start a thing there, and it's growing. And so she went, and no one else came. Everybody's on Easter vacation. So she's preaching in the men's violent offender unit as a 5'4", weight not to be mentioned, woman. 128. And I'm talking rough guys. They assign an armed guard there and stuff. Well, one of the guys, if I said his name, many people would know who it is. One of the top drug cartel guys. His right-hand man, top guy, is being held there. He's in there. And the guard said, man, they told her who he was. He never comes here. He never signs up. We have Bible study groups and all the time. He won't come. And he's sitting there disinterested. And then when Adonis starts speaking, she says a couple things in Spanish to him, and he perks up. Who's this fellow Hispanic preaching? And then she's not given a boring lesson. How many of you know Jesus is from Capernaum? Capernaum is a town that's 30 kilometers east of the Sea of Tiberias. What is this, geography class? She's telling them the power of God. And God setting you free. And the miracles of God. And they said he was bawling his eyes out. And then lifted his hand to receive Jesus Christ. The prisoners aren't allowed to touch. He gave my wife a huge hug. She gave him a big hug. The guards let it be. He said, I'm going to be back here next week. Do you have any books or anything? She gave him a bunch of faith books. Prayer books. It was there the next week. Then the third week when no one showed up. It doesn't matter. Because he's there. And he sits right by her and faces the crowd. Like, if anybody has a problem with her, I'd be happy to extend my sentence. And the Lord worked it all out. Everybody, I see the harvest so ripe and ready to come in. Jesus said, don't save 4 months till the harvest. For the harvest is white, ripe, white, and ready to come in. That has a dual meaning. A, it's ready to come in. B, if you don't get it now, it's going to drop and you're going to lose the harvest. This place will turn into England or Belgium or Canada, but it ain't going to happen, brother. We're gonna send shockwaves out of this room. Whatever explosions the devil's planning for this country, we're going to hit it. We're going to beat them to the punch. There's going to be an explosion this week in the spirit realm. Pennsylvania is due for a revival. This place is going to be shaken this week by the power of Almighty God. If you believe that with me, can you say amen? You know, I'm going to tell you something. Normally in the daytime, I teach, and then at night I preach. But I just feel like we're going to run revival services day and night. Pray for people. Preach. I love this state. I'm not saying that because I'm here. I know guest speakers are supposed to tell everybody they love them and all that. I'm telling you, I love Pennsylvania. This is my state. These are my people. When I did that meeting, I started to tell you about in Dillsburg, and it ended up going 3 weeks. I felt the Lord speak to me as I left that meeting after 21 days. Good job. And now because you handled that well, I'm going to begin to open the state of Pennsylvania to you. And then if you remember from back then, that's when I started buying TV time, not on national television, on Fox and ABC affiliates. The first one I did was Harrisburg. The second one I did was Johnstown. The third one I did was Pittsburgh. And the last one I did was Philadelphia because it was the most expensive. And it was the easiest thing. In fact, the one night that I mentioned, I said, we're going to go on Fox 29 in Philadelphia late at night and preach and show miracles and call people in Philadelphia to receive Jesus Christ. And a guy came right up crying. He said, at the meeting this week, my wife and I were having problems and God took it away. Our marriage is fresh. He said, how much is it going to be a month to go on to Philadelphia? I said, $2,200. He said, here's the first check for $2,200. I'll have another check to you on the first of every month. Now, I didn't even have time to write a letter or send it out. See, it was the Lord. Then that's how I met Brother Cole. When was the first year I came to your church? 2014 or 15? 14. See, that was 2011 in Dillsburg. 14. Who else is a pastor here that I've preached for? When did I come to your place? 2018. Who else? Fess up. When was your place? Landon Ritchie. 2013 and 2014. Who? Which was what? Oh, I'm coming next year. So this guy's a prophet. He's telling me where I'm going to be next year. And when the Lord gave me that word, then Pennsylvania started to open up. That's when the youth camps, they started having me do them every year. And that's when they had me do the youth convention and all that. It opened up supernaturally. And I'm telling you, coming back, it's been a little while since I held a revival in Pennsylvania. I don't know that I did it all last year. And I feel that churning in me again of the love of God for the people of Pennsylvania. How awful to hear that your daughter rammed a knife through her side and is bleeding out. People are good people. They don't hate God. They just don't. Nobody's told them the Bible. And they need help. And I'm telling you this week, whatever has gone wrong, you're only one prayer away from the power of God. Amen. Taking you out of whatever pit you're in and setting your feet on the rock to stay. I've shared about three different miracles with you tonight that all took place in the last 36 hours. My wife was doing the Friday night service while I was on the road in Georgia. Lady got out of a wheelchair so easy. She thought that she was just in there because she had like a bone cancer or some sickness that made it hard to walk. The person that brought her said, that's the first time she's walked in over 10 years. Legs all bowed in. That's my wife's meeting, just teaching people. Come, I'm telling you, we are in the middle of a... Can you get somehow... I know the sound's a little messed up. Can you get, I feel a fresh wave, or I feel a fresh wind blowing across this land? I want to challenge every believer and especially every minister that God brought here tonight. Obviously, you're a special minister to be here because preachers don't come and listen to other preachers ever. So for you to be here, most of you did your own Sunday morning. How many preachers are here that did their own Sunday morning already? Everybody put their hand up this high like we're in the Soviet Union. How many preachers did their own Sunday morning? So, and then how far is it from Allentown to here, Bethlehem? So, you know, that's something. Everything I showed you and your wife when you obeyed me to start that church, to take that church. You think I've forgotten, says the Lord. No, I shall bring it all to pass. Two things come on you right now. A fresh anointing, a strength in the anointing, and a touch for your body, a strength for your body to run like a racehorse, to run and not grow weary. While other of your contemporaries wear out and retire, you're going to go stronger this year than you ever have. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. What's the name of my ministry? You know, I named it Revival Today instead of Revival Tomorrow. Lift your hand again if you lift your hand again if you saw me at one of the youth camps. Now that seemed like yesterday. Pastor Ben was like the sports coordinator. You know, I was in my 20s. Now you'll have, do you have a grandkid yet? On the way. You know, he's going to be a grandfather. He was the youth pastor. He's a grandpa. And then me. I was a young, radical youth speaker. I'm 43. I have a sport coat. I have driving loafers like old Italian men have. Time goes like this. So while you're waiting for revival, praying for revival, your life shoots by and it's gone. There has to come a time, and that time is right now, where you say, I'm going to grab the vision by the horns. The things that are in my heart to do, I'm going to do it now. You know, how many of you remember those outdoor, some of you were there. How many of you remember the outdoor crusades that we did in Philadelphia and Camden and Allentown? Camden, do you know when that started? The Lord spoke to me and said, are you believing me to do big outdoor crusades? I said, oh, yes, one day. And he said, whatever you're believing me for, do it now. Because one day doesn't come. And life shoots by like this. There is a quickening anointing here today. That the things that you thought you were going to do when you're 60, you're going to do them now when you're 35. Jesus is coming soon. There's no time. Say not 4 months until the harvest. Look now. Come here, Pastor Cole. Stand over here. Face me. Lift both hands. Close both eyes. Say not 4 months into the harvest. I see the Lord giving you a pipeline into the Syrian community. I see the Lord giving you a greater pipeline into the Puerto Rican and Dominican community. I see all nations that have moved into Allentown, an open door coming in. That God is going to reward you, my friend, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. And strength for your body. You'll preach for an hour and not even feel like you did anything. In Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. Pennsylvania's going to have a great year. Can you say amen? Amen. You think God can't turn this state around? We elected a senator named John Fetterman, and he went to the hospital and came out a Christian conservative back in Israel. You know, I looked him up online. He was raised in a conservative Christian home. And then my wife was shooting guns at the range, and he was there shooting and walked over and said hi to her and gave her the rest of his targets. This country, shut up. I've had enough of people like that. Any idiot can talk down about the country. I'm telling you, there's enough people in this room. This week, you watch. You think God can't give us statewide and national breakthroughs this week? Court cases, state Supreme Court, national Supreme Court. This is going to be a week of miracles for the people of God, for the state of Pennsylvania, and for the United States of America. So rejoice and be glad. For the Lord has already given you the victory. Go ahead, take 30 seconds and clap your hands and rejoice. Come on, make a joyful noise in here. Hallelujah! Every hand lifted in your seats. The anointing's going to get stronger as my two friends on the platform sing this anointed song. Listen and enjoy. Go ahead, Sister Clarita.
I see a fresh wind blowing across this land. Oh, nothing or no one be able to stop me, for it is a mighty fresh wind from the Lord. Oh, I see a fresh wind
Somebody shout,
praise the Lord.
I knew it was a mistake to hire an Amish sound team for these meetings. They did their best. This is not their thing, you know. More farming and agrarian things. Stand on your feet, everybody. Say out loud what we said in the beginning. Say, the fire must never go out. Well, there's no way to lay hands on everybody that's here in this building. No chance. Where is there outside where people won't get run over? Have one of the ushers go cone it off. Before we pray for everybody tonight, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here like we had people this morning do, and we had 115 people last Sunday do, you say, Jonathan, I've never received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Or you once did, but you fell away. You grew cold and indifferent. You're going to have the best year you've ever had. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jonathan, I've allowed my fire to go out. I've allowed sin to be where Christ once was. And I know that God brought me here tonight to stir me up. God's not looking to condemn you. He's looking to wake you up that you don't miss this last move of God. Bible says there'll be 10. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 took extra oil, but 5 let the fire go out. If you're here and you say, Jonathan, I'm not living like I should. I allowed myself to get sucked into American culture, American living, and I realize I'm not right with God. Maybe you've never been, like the people today that I talked to, never been to church, but they came and received Christ, and you need to do that tonight. If you fall into either of those two groups and you say, Jonathan, I don't want to miss this. I want to come back to the Lord tonight. Or I want to receive Christ for the first time. I want to pray with you. It would be my privilege, my utmost honor and my utmost privilege to pray with you. Let me pray for this lady in the blue and white. Where are you from? What church did I see you from originally? Dillsburg. Come here. Lift both hands to the Lord. Anything you've lost, the Lord's going to find a way to give it back to you where life's not going to be painful now. There it is. Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. If you say, Jonathan, I need to receive Christ tonight, put your hand up right now, and we're going to pray together. In the hallway, in the back, put your hand up nice and high where I can see it. I want to receive Christ tonight. I want to get rid of sin and not see sin get rid of me. Every person that lifted a hand, come forward right now. We're going to pray here at the altar. Come right now. In Jesus' name. Every hand, hallway, back room, come. In Jesus' name. Come, this is your night. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You know, the Lord's healing you, ma'am, even as you come forward. I see you walking without that thing. If you made it through that obstacle course, you're going to be good. So nice to have you. Say this prayer out loud after me. Heavenly Father, I've come forward tonight to give you my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in your blood. I believe in my heart. You raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth. Jesus is Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I won't do this. Put this hand across your heart and lungs. Underneath your hand, the hand of the Lord passes and strengthens your heart. and strengthens your lungs. In Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your hand there. Be healed. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, be strong. Knees, feet, hips. See your hands. Now, you'll never battle that again. In Jesus' name. This is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Close both eyes. Receive this free gift. Be filled with the presence. There it is. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, that's not a tormenting spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's what you're going to take home with you when you go. And that other one can go somewhere else. Amen. How many of you were blessed tonight? Let me pray for this lady with the blonde hair. Nice sweater. Come here, huh? Welcome to the family. Tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, endeavor to make this the most spiritual week you've ever had. And I promise you, if you'll plug into these meetings, you know what this is going to be? Adult youth camp. So tell your boss, if you say, I have to work, tell your boss you're taking all your smoking breaks for the year up front. Power of God's on you. Lift both hands, close both eyes. God loves you, and you love God. And because you love him, he's going to draw near to you right now and endue you with his power and his excellent might. Lift your hands up even higher. As you do, the power of God comes upon you. In Jesus' name. Never. That's it. Go right through you. In Jesus' name. This lady in the green with the light sweater over it, just step out into the aisle there. You don't have to come. Yeah, you. Yeah, just step out into the aisle. Lift both hands. Close both eyes. As you do, God's power comes upon you right now. There it is. In Jesus' name. Go right through you. More. More. And more. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. That's right. Never be the same from today. Now you notice, she didn't fall down, and she didn't fall down. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. If the goal was to fall down, I had everybody lay down at 7:45 and then head to Waffle House. But God's power is real. Amen? How many of you can tell the Lord's touching you even right now? Amen. I don't say this everywhere I go because I couldn't say it everywhere I go. I want to thank everybody who's here, who's been a great blessing to my life and Adonis' life for a long time. And the Lord's going to pay you back this week. In Jesus' name. Every hand lifted one more time. Go ahead and sing. You have a mic? All right, we'll give it another shot. That song you're playing. Sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us. Every hand lifted, the anointing will get stronger as she sings. Go ahead.
You're my sweet.
Every hand lifted.
We're gonna live. Without a doubt, we know that we've been revived when we shall leave this place.
Let me pray for these two ladies on the end here with the silver boots and the brown boots. Step right over here. Just stand shoulder to shoulder. Right there is fine. Lift both your hands all the way up. Close both eyes. As you do the power, that's it. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. In Jesus' name. Never. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. How many can feel the presence of God here? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to have everyone be seated briefly. Before we line you up outside, obviously once we do that, I'll dismiss you from out there. I'm glad this isn't my first rodeo. This has started to become a problem everywhere now, especially this year, where you can't fit the people in the building. In Canada, we were at a church with 75 people on Sunday morning. New church in Vancouver, British Columbia, not exactly Dallas, Texas. We were at 340 by the middle of the week. Love you two ladies. Welcome to the family. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say it out loud with me. The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
And His mercy endures forever. Going to be a bad week to be a demon. Going to be a great week to be a Christian. Amen. The things you battled before tonight, you won't battle them anymore. Praise God. What was I saying before that? Yeah, lining up outside. So before we do, we receive an offering because it's in the Bible. Selling tickets is not in the Bible. $4 spaghetti dinners are not in the Bible. But let each man give as he's directed by the Spirit, not reluctantly in response to pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver, is in the Bible. Nobody has to give to get prayer, but believe it or not, especially in central Pennsylvania, you have some of the most generous people on the face of the earth. Do you know 90% of world missions giving comes from the United States? Of that 90%, I would love to see how much of that comes from Pennsylvania, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. There's generous people here. There's people that if I didn't take an offering right now, they'd go find me in the parking lot because they brought an offering. So this is not to force anybody to give. If you'll notice, I'm not brandishing a 357 revolver. This is called a free will offering, not a robbery. But those of you who came to give, when you give, I'm going to believe that a hundredfold return comes back on your finances. Because God instituted giving to help the believer, not to help him. God's not trying to keep a nonprofit going. God said, give and you will receive. Your gift will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over to make room for more. I will cause men to give liberally into your bosom. And so I want to thank you ahead of time for your giving and just give you the ability to do that. If you would like an envelope, you can hold up your hand. If you want to give by the QR code, that's for crypto. Or you can go to revivaltoday.com and click give now. Plus, there's people watching online. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for standing with me in Lancaster, Pennsylvania this week, wherever you're watching from. On the internet. Thank you for your giving. I'll give you 2 minutes or so to do that. No, don't pass the buckets yet. People have to write. This isn't a rush. It's not a robbery. Police aren't coming. You can take your time. I've sat on the front row in meetings. They had the bucket by me before I could even get my wallet out. But me, I go nice and slow. A lot of people get nervous at the offering, but my blood pressure is like 3/1. Amen. If you're writing a check, you can make it out to Revival today. If you're watching online and you want to mail a large check, like a guy tried to send me $10,000 on Cash App and they wouldn't let him. They block it at $2,500. So if you want to send a large check, Revival Today, P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania. What's the zip? 15329. I don't live anywhere near Prosperity, Pennsylvania. It's an hour away from where we live. I just wanted to have an address there. So when people write and say, we don't believe in prosperity, we just write back and say, where'd you send the letter to? I don't believe in prosperity. I could drive you there. It's an hour south of Pittsburgh. Praise God. Well, you're going to tell people you got dismissed from a Jonathan Shuttlesworth service at 9:10. No one's going to believe you. They're saying, are you sure it was Jonathan? Is he feeling okay? You have to go longer some places because there's a lot to break through. I think maybe from preaching here so much, people didn't come with their guard up. They came to receive. How many came to receive tonight? Yeah. So why not just cut to the chase and receive? I'm not going to preach to you like you're obstinate when you're agreeable. How many can tell you got something already in your spirit? How many, while I was preaching and talking, the Lord gave you a plan for what you're to do to fulfill God's call on your life and be a part of what he's doing in the last days? Good. Praise God. Hold your seat up before the Lord. If you gave by phone, you can hold your phone up. If you're watching at home, you can lift your entire desktop computer up before the Lord. Father, I thank you for a hundredfold return on every seed that's sown tonight. I pray that this seed would break the back of poverty permanently on every family. Lord, you said in your word, I'll fill your storehouses with grain. Before any need arises, may the provision be there ahead of time. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, all the pastors that are here, that's a new thing this year. Every place I go, a bunch of pastors have been coming. When I was in Vancouver, pastors flew in from Calgary, Edmonton. They came from different parts. You can see like the cycle coming back around. Well, my dad started off in evangelism. If you're going to preach in a Assemblies of God church, all the pastors from that district came. And then that kind of went, it was like every man for himself. Nobody talked to anybody. But then you can see now there's like a sweet spirit of unity in the church. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, next week, I felt to, during the 21 days of prayer and fasting, I felt to go to Los Angeles. And we preached at the Sheraton Gateway at Los Angeles International Airport, the hotel that's right across the street. And just put out a crazy Instagram ad that had no promise anybody coming. We had a little, I think it was 400 and some. When we left, I was just there 36 hours. I did Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and then flew straight to Pittsburgh, landed at 8:05, drove home, threw on a suit, and did Sunday morning. And I was going to extend the meeting a week because the California people are hungry. And instead of extending it the next week, I gave a little time. We had 18 pastors sign up that they were interested in doing a crusade. Now we're going to go back to that same hotel in downtown Los Angeles. How many believe God will shake California this year? I believe that. Let me say two more things. Friday night or Saturday night? Friday night. There was somebody that brought a sick loved one to get prayer. I said, where'd you guys come from? They said, Cleveland. 2 hours and 15 minutes. People shouldn't have to drive 2 hours and 15 minutes to get prayer. If you're young here, 30 and younger, and you feel called into the ministry, you should move on that. There are people that need help and there's not church. Yeah, I'm probably not the only church within 2 hours and 15 minutes that would pray for them. But they also don't know. There's none that have made a name for doing that enough that they knew they could go there. They said, we don't know where else we could go. There should be a church in Cleveland. There should be churches all over America that don't just believe in the power of God. We actually do believe in miracles. You know, many of our staff is baptized in the Holy Ghost. We just don't say it on Sunday because we're spineless losers who are embarrassed of the Holy Ghost. There should be people that demonstrate the power of God. We had a guy, I'll play the video sometime this week. His name was Greg. He came with a walking cane. He had a paralyzed right leg, I think, paralyzed right side of his body from MS. You know how he came to church? Never came to church. You'll see it. He has a big skull tattoo on his hand and never been to church. He said he was telling his cousin how bad his MS is getting, and his cousin said, you need to get to this church in Pittsburgh. His cousin doesn't go to church. He said, if you go there and have them pray for you, he said, God will heal you. He was telling him that as an unsaved cousin. See, that's what's going to happen all over this nation this year. Can you say amen? So we have a Bible school, Revival Today Bible Institute. It's $2,000 a year. I was going to make it free, but if you make fantasy football leagues free, people don't even set their lineup. So you have to have some skin in the game, but I made it attainable. $2,000 total cost. And I chose the courses. I chose the books. We have some of our Bible college students here. We have it set up where they have their incorporation and nonprofit ready to go by the time they graduate. Stuff they don't teach you in Bible school. You know, if you go to plumbing school, they don't just say, we need plumbers. People should plumb. People need water. Yes. How do I do the actual work? So it's one thing to get fired up about the ministry. There's an art to ministry. There's a way to do it. And so it's a ministry training school. It's not to get a Bible education. That's great. It's not to come and study the Bible, though you will study the Bible. But if you're going to be a baseball player, you have to do more than study the physics of wood and baseballs. There is the actual ministry. Every Saturday, they go and do an outreach in low-income housing. So get a crowd, preach. If you can preach in Section 8 housing to people that have never been to church, you can do churches easy. Can you say amen? Amen. Win souls, get them in church. You know, one of the students was telling me after church today, she said, I preached at the outreach. I didn't feel I did that good. I said, why do you say that? Did nobody get saved? She said, no, people got saved. Actually, that family that's right there, they got saved yesterday and came to church. I said, then you did good. That's how you judge whether you did well or not. Who got saved? Not how awesome did you sound. If you had like a nice outfit from Zara. Amen? So we have, what's the website? RevivalTodayBibleInstitute.com. So consider it. You don't have to, but I'd love to have you. Next intake of students is in September. And if you like being in our meetings, you'll enjoy it because you'll be with me. We got great, great faculty. My wife's there, everything. All right. Ushers, go ahead and receive the offering. What a great night. Hey, Ben, before we go outside, come up with me and get a shot of what I'm seeing. I want to remember this for the rest of my life. So, in case I get hit in the head with a football or something, if you could videotape it, that'd be great. Just one straight across, down the hall. I like this stuff. It's an answer to prayer. Are you glad you came tonight? Well, we're going to make the 10 a.m. meetings Holy Ghost meetings. And we'll teach on the things of the Spirit and get in some stuff that you can't necessarily get into at night. And then the night will be revival evangelistic services. So if you're interested in being used by God, we'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit, how to heal the sick, where power to heal comes from. All out of the Bible. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Good to see you, Brother Landon. Thanks for interning us with us back in the old building. Stand on your feet, everybody. I like the ushers at this church. They look like they know how to get rid of a body. They look like there's some churches that have ushers that if you told them to throw someone out of the service, they wouldn't tap them on the shoulder and bring their stuff to them. They would pick them up and throw them out of the service. And I believe we're in that kind of church tonight. Amen. Okay. The Bible says, Paul told Timothy, stir up, 2 Timothy chapter 1, stir up the gift that came on the inside of you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and soundness of mind. Stir up the gift that came on the inside of you. When? When did the gift come on the inside of Timothy? When he laid his hands on him. So this is not a Pentecostal way to close the service out, or we like touching people's foreheads. This is where the grace of God can flow freely from one vessel into another, and the only cost of admission is hunger. Blessed are they that are hungry and thirsty. Say this out loud. My fire will never go out. This is what, you know, I've never heard a church say it as convincingly as this church just did. I believe you. So I'm not having you say it a second time. I believe you the first time. This is a step you take. The five that had their fire never go out, it wasn't an accident. They took extra oil. They made steps to value the anointing. So this is a step where the fire that Paul said, what was in me came into you by the laying on of hands. So when I lay hands on you, whatever fire you're carrying, the Lord's going to pour holy kerosene on it, and you're going to leave this place carrying too much fire in Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. If you believe it, can you say amen? It is amazing. This is like how you're supposed to. If we finished with this many people, it would be a successful meeting. This is night one. Pastor Joe is going to give you instructions. Just do me a favor. I know people in Central Pennsylvania are very friendly, most of them. Don't start talking to people and stuff. Take your valuables with you. We don't know who came into the meeting. And stay locked in the anointing like you are now. It makes it a little difficult to move people, but I believe you can do it. Stay in it. You can pray in the Holy Ghost as you're walking out there. I also think it's good for people driving by. They're going to have a hard time saying that the church is dead in America when there's 300 people outside praying in tongues. Amen. Are wicked people ashamed to do what they do outside? No, they're not. It's time the church came out of the closet and let everybody know there's a mighty army in Pennsylvania that has not bowed the veil or kissed his face. Can you say amen?
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.